You want to use the bigger ones?
Okay, so we're going to explore an incredibly popular and oft-quoted, well-known, very important passage at the end here in Sefer Vayikra, and that is, if you look in the art scroll here, here it is. It's on page 700. Are you ready for this? Everyone loves talking about this parsha. The parsha of Batei Arechoma.
The walled cities.
That's the look I was waiting for. You're like, what? What's that?
The redemption of that.
Right, the sale, the rules governing the sale of cities that are surrounded by walls in the land of Israel. Popular section, right?
If you say...
Right, so I actually would like this morning, in the brief time that we have, to shed some light on this parsha, because even though it is not, I don't want to say anything bad, God forbid, about this section of the Torah, it's not the most popular section, but I came across a very fascinating insight this year that can shed some light on this and really have a lot of relevance to us, even though we're not living in the land of Israel. And there's a strange, you know, question as to, are there any cities today that even have walls from the time of the Torah, Yehoshua ben Nun, etc.? But let's go through these psukim. V'ish. Well, what's the context here? Right, the context is, we had just been talking previously about a person who sells their achuza, their inheritance field. Ste achuza means the field from their family. And previously, the Torah had told us that if you sell your ste achuza, you have to assess it based on the years that remain until Yovel. Why? That's right. So your ste achuza goes back. Now, to contrast that, the pasuk says the following: V'ish ki yimkor beis moshav ir choma v'ayisa geulaso ad tom shenas mimkaro yamim tiyeh geulaso. The first rule: if you are to sell a beis moshav ir choma, a house that sits in a walled city, is that the redemption period, the buyback period, is until when? Tom Shnas Mimkaro.
1 year.
1 year. The end of that 1 year. Lawyers need to know this. Right? In Israel, it's going to be very important to have lawyers, because the laws governing these transactions are very complex, because it depends where you're selling your property. The real estate chevra has to know, is it a base moshav yerchoma? Is it a stay achuza? How long is the buyback period? That's number one. But number two, v'im lo yigoel ad melos lo shana tamima, what happens? V'kam abayis asher bo'ir asher lo choma, which the Gemara has a drasha, we're not going to focus on that Greek siv right now. It will become established, the house in the city that has a wall to it, latzmisus, in perpetuity. Lakona usolodorosov lo Yetze Bayovel. Okay. What about if you buy in another city? There's no wall there. What's the din in that case? Because we talked about walled cities. What about non-walled cities, but also cities? As the pasuk says, Ubate achatzerim asher ein lahem choma saviv, al steha aretz yichashev, geulat yelo uvayovel yetze. They're treated as stay achuza, as a field. A field. Stay achuza as a field. So if you buy an apartment or a house in a walled city, you have 1 year, and otherwise it is permanent in terms of the sale. If you buy an apartment or a house in an unwalled city, it's treated like buying a piece of real estate in a field. And therefore, It is returned at the time of Yovel. And then the subsequent caveat is that the Ari Halavim, which are the 48 cities of the Levim, so they have Geulas Olam Tiel Halavim. They always redeem. They can always redeem it, which is not surprising to you because those should never be transferred. Those have to always be the location for the Levim to be living. So what interests me, and I don't know if you would be bothered by the same question, what do you think is the difference? Right? Obviously, this is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God wants this to be the Seder of the land of Israel and how people live and how real estate is transacted. But what I'm trying to understand is, what's beneath it? What's the Messer? Is it, like, sounds kind of arbitrary. Why should it be that the din is, if you have a city that had a wall, what's the difference? Is it a strange oddity? What does it make sense to you?
Well, I never thought about it.
Right? Okay, good. Fair point.
If you look at what are the cities that we are famous for being walled cities, Yerushalayim, Yericho,
Tveria.
Tveria is a question, right? The Gemara and Megillah has a suffix. But the truth is there were tons more. Shishim, Yerichol, Chervel, Argov, Orem, Betsuros, the Pasuk says later on, I think it's in Parshas Chukas. There were many in those days, because if you think about it, if you were, let's say, a random Canaanite king, one of the 31 kings, and you had a little kingdom, you probably wanted to live in a protected space. You wanted to live in a walled city.
So the enemy won't come in.
Exactly. And that's part of how the Meraglim, when they sought to examine, to spy out, or to visit the land of Israel, one of the things that they were inquiring about was...
That's right.
And Rashi points out there that that reflects an attitude, the confidence of the people. So there is a social element to having the walled cities.
There's more permanence.
Okay, good. So there's more permanence in walled cities. So this brings the question even stronger. Because it's not just a social issue. I'll tell you why. Because there is a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Kelim. In the first Perek of Maseches Kelim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. And the Mishnah there says, you know, Eretz Yisrael is very holy. There's a tremendous presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. There's a Shekhinah there. It's one of the 10 strata of Kedusha. But you know what's higher in Kedusha than Eretz Yisrael? The walled cities in Eretz Yisrael. If the city has a wall, it has greater sanctity, higher levels of Kedusha. Lamai nafkamina, so what? Two things the Mishnah says. Number one, that if you have someone who passes away in a walled city, you can move them from one place to another, but once that person is removed from the city, they cannot be returned. It's a breach of the Kedusha of the city to take a deceased person and bring it into the city, to the walled city. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, we talked recently in the parashas about the effect of tzaras on a person. And what is the most visible challenge for a person as tzaras socially is that he's exiled. Well, in the land of Israel, they didn't have a standard camp like they did in the Midbar. They had Jews living all up and down the land of Israel. So the Mishnah says, you know what's called, what has the din of Machane Yisrael, of the Jewish camp? The walled cities. So Mitzorah is Mishtaleach, Michutz, Legimel Machanos. He's sent out of three camps. From Machane Yisrael, it means he's sent out of walled cities in Israel.
If a person had Saras, they went to the walls, they left, they had to leave the walls.
Yes,
wall
they could correct.
Remain in a city that has no walls?
That's right.
Going back to the previous one, we're not supposed to take a mace that was outside of a walled city into a walled city. And obviously, Yerushalayim is going to be a higher level, because well, it's walled and it's going to be a higher level. So, how, I mean, that's
It's a good question. It's a very good question. Part of that has to do with what part of Yerushalayim was in the walled city and what was not. It's interesting. There is a din, where is this, Gemara Bava Kamma, like Daf Tzadi or something, that in Yerushalayim, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that the only people who are allowed to be buried in Yerushalayim are Malachim from Malchus Beis David.
Were what, Grandma?
Kings from the Davidic dynasty. No one else is allowed to even be buried there. So obviously that is referring to a very specific geographic area, which is also an interesting thing to look at. There is a book by a professor, Eli Tzur. Some of you remember we had a fellow in the Kol Chagai, Eli Tzur. So he has an uncle, his family, they're a very, very prominent, accomplished Israeli aristocratic family. Aristocratic, I mean, from the intellectual aristocracy of Israel. So he has an uncle, I think he's an archaeologist. So he wrote a sefer about places in Israel and the Parshas Shavua. And each one of them is very interesting. So I happen to see this week he has an essay on next week Parsha, on the second Parsha tomorrow, on Bechukosai, on Yerushalayim, and trying to identify which area, when we speak about Yerushalayim, which area, Ir David, well, what does Ir David mean? Which part did David live? Because there are multiple parts. There's the Harabayas, there's the northern side of the city, then there's the valley, what we take today they call Ir David. So it's very interesting. Where was the Aron? So he has a lot about that from an archaeological, historical standpoint. So you get the impression that the burial that's taking place, let's say today, Har Menuchos, Har Zeisim, those were outside, I'm assuming, although I have to go back to just double-check that Gemara in Bava Kamma, I think those are outside of the perimeter of the wall of Yerushalayim.
About, and maybe we talked about it here once, about how what the ceremony was in order to expand
yes.
Yerushalayim. So was that outside of the walls that it was expanding? And did it then?
So you have to check historically what they did and when they did that. An example, nafka mina, of what Reb Michael is pointing out is there were some tshuvas many years ago of new neighborhoods, Yerushalayim HaChadasha, what their din was for purposes of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. Like, I think, like Beit Vegan. I seem to recall one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah many, many years ago had a shiloh about whether or not Beit Vegan, and they had, this was the whole, exactly the shiloh that you're asking. What were they mosif? How do you figure out where it was? What's the halachic status? These are all questions, yeah. But that's the din. It's a Beferish Mishnah. That you shouldn't, if they took a deceased person outside of the wall, they shouldn't bring them back in. So, this is a very interesting observation. It's not just a din that security-wise it was safer to live in a walled city, or it was more socially, it was better, it was more effective to be protected in that. Evidently, there's an element of Kedusha, there's something deeper about this. Because you could have said, and this is, there was a very important Mefarish who we're going to talk about as the second pshat. He has two pshatim. His name is the Chizkuni, we call him. So the Chizkuni, he's living in the 13th century in France. He's writing a pirush on the Chumash after the very difficult time, after the period of the Crusades and the burning of the Talmud in 1244. So he has one pshat. Says one pshat. You know what the pshat is? You know why there's a distinction in terms of sale between Batei Arei Choma and Batei Arei Chatzeros? He says, because there's a difference in terms of how people feel about selling a house in a walled city. They feel that there's a measure of permanence to it. It's a practical question. It's a different kind of real estate. It's a different kind of transaction. He says that's one pshat. But then he has another pshat, which is mamish amazing. It's very powerful. And that pshat, to appreciate it, I think we need to go back to the beginning of Parshas Bahar. What is the beginning of the Parsha all about?
Shemitah.
Right. Shemitah. We have 7 years. Right, Perikaf Hey. 7 years of agricultural cycles. The first 6 years you work the land, and the seventh year you rest. What happens on Pasuk Ches? V'safar tolecha. Sheva shabzos shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim. So then, after seven cycles of seven, v'hayu l'cha yomei sheva shabzos hashanim, Teisha v'arba'im shana. You have 49 years. Va'avarta shofar turah b'chodesh hashvi be'as la'chodesh on Yom Kippur of Yovel v'yom ha'kippurim ta'avir shofar b'chol ha'artzachem. And through that, v'kidashtem, you sanctify Eis shnas ha'chamishim shana ukrasim durah ba'oretz l'chol yoshveh Yovel hitiyah lachem v'shavtem ish ha'lachuzasa v'ish ha'mishpach t'toshuvu. And what are the laws of Yovel? Yovel he pasuk yud aleph shnas hachamishim shana. That's the 50th year. Tielachem lo sizro. Just like shmita, you also cannot sizro. That's right. Velo siktzeru es sifichah. You cannot. That's right. There's no harvesting and no taking the grapes because it's Yovel. Bishnas hayovel azos. Finally, yud gimel toshuvu. Ish el achuzaso. Each person returns to his achuza.
To his
achuza, to his inheritance. His ancestral plot. Achuza, the thing that he grabs onto is achuza. Okay. What is the central message of Yovel?
Everything belongs to Hashem.
Right. Everything belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is why it's looped into Shemitah. What does that have to do with Shemitah?
It's food, the same thing. It's Hashem is allowing you to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Once every 7 years, you got to let other people use it.
Bingo. That's why the pasuk says, Vishav Sa'aretz Shabbos LaHashem. Where do we have this same parallel of six of work and one of rest? Right, about what?
About Shabbos.
That's right. What is the message of Shabbos vis-a-vis Malacha? Lo sasaka Malacha, don't do any work on Shabbos. Why not?
Because Hashem rested on Shabbos.
Right, and what is he trying to demonstrate to us with that?
All belongs to
Hashem. That's it. That he's the Balabas. Tein lo mishalo shakol shalom. And that's why the definition of malacha on Shabbos has nothing to do with how much sweat is involved. It's about how much creativity is involved. Because when we create, we say, I created it. Uman kona b'shvachli, it's mine. I'm a balabas. The Rosh Hashanah says to you, take 24 hours when you put everything on hold. And I will show you that you're not the balabas, that it's really all tein lo mishalo, it's all mine. I'm taking care of it. So on a much bigger scale, on a national scale, that's going to happen every 7 years. And now on a much huger scale, every 50 years, what's going to happen?
Up to the 49.
Yes. What happens then? Then the Rebbe Shlom says, I'm really the boss. Because what happened on Shemitah? What did you have to do?
Rest.
Right. You had to leave your land fallow. And that shows that the land belongs to the Rebbe Shlom. Right, and this, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he says that's the message of Shemitah. Shemitah is the land belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Great. On Yovel, that message is taken to a stratospheric level where you literally have to uproot your livelihood, your business, your whole empire, your real estate empire, and you have to start everything from scratch. Because it says, Bishnas hayovel azos tashuvu ish elachuzaso.
We start from the beginning.
Because it all belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we come back to the Bati Ori Choma. We come back to the walled cities.
No, but 1 minute.
Yes.
What's the big difference between Yovel and
Shemitah? Shemitah? On Shemitah, you can't work. But the field still belongs to you. You buy somebody's field. You keep it. You work it.
Okay.
But on Yovel,
it
goes. You have to give it back.
Oh.
And not only that, all your slaves go free.
Okay.
It's the reset button on the economy, essentially. So now let's go back to the walled cities.
Isn't the Kilchizkuni, also in Israel, you don't own the land. If you have a house, the land is not yours after 100 years.
I don't know the details about this. You have to ask who know the details. That's a more modern.
Where you?
Right, that's a more modern question. I'm not sure if it's
today. The land is not yours.
So I don't know if right.
You lease it from the government. Or
so here is the second pshat in the Chizkuni, and this mamish, it blew my mind. It's so beautiful. He said, what's the difference between Bate Arichoma and Bate Achatzeros or Stei Achuza, between a walled city dwelling and a field? He says that the field, that's the place for your parnasa.
Right. That's where you eat.
That's where you earn your livelihood. Now it makes total sense.
Makes sense.
What's the distinction? If you live in a city, you can't plant, he points out, in a city. A walled city, no one plants in a city. Maybe you'll put a vegetable garden outside in your front porch, but you don't make it into a commercial agricultural center.
Right.
He says, if you have a field, that is the source of your livelihood. And not only that, by the way, Bate HaChatzeros, the fields out there that have cities, those cities, in theory, because they don't have walls, they could be converted. If you have somebody who is, I don't know, if it's worth their while, who's an ambitious developer, and who realizes that it's more worthwhile to plant crops in an open city, yeah. And remember, in those days, cities could be a couple of chatzeros with a couple of houses, he might feel, this developer might say, it's more worthwhile, demolish those five houses and plant expensive crops there, make a much better living, could be. You know, because it's shayach. But you can't turn a walled city into an agricultural center. He says that's the difference. The Ribbono Shel Olam needed to tell us that the place where we earn our livelihood, that's mufka after 50 years. That is subject to the laws of Yovel. What happens in the walled city? And this may be, and now I'm expanding on the idea of a chizkuni, it's that the walled city, it's not about your livelihood, it's about your life. It's about your values, it's about your family, it's about your children, it's about community, it's about Beis HaKnesses. So that's not just chayisha, how you earn a living, that's what you live for. The image of sitting around in a home, in a community, in a shul, it's a bias. That, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need to be mafkia from Yovel. Because Yovel says it all comes from Ribbono Shel Olam. But if a person is leading a life of true Torah values in their bias, of course the Ribbono Shel Olam is a living, breathing entity. And Memela, you can understand why there's a higher level of Kedusha. Because you're not distracted by the needs of building the economy and the potential pitfall of Kochi Va'otzim Yadi that says, I built this, this is mine. Because it revolves around something different. The ear, that's Muk of Choma, that revolves around building the community. That sense of community comes from our Ruchnius, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Beautiful idea.
Yeah. But I mean, the idea is a very nice idea, but I mean, take Beit Shemesh. It is what it is. I mean, let's assume there's no controversy as to whether it did or didn't have a wall. If it had a wall, then how does that convert? I mean, if it didn't have a wall, how is it any less about community and all those good things than if it happened to have a wall?
So what I think the Chizkuni is asking you to do is to travel back in time to the Shas Matan Torah when the Jews entered into the land of Israel and what that meant and the fact that they had lots of these fortified walled cities around and those were more permanent versus the open cities that were open to attack. That's number one. But number two, and this is the point that he addresses kind of Farvorning your kasha, Michael, is that in principle, the cities that did not have walls could be and may have been easily converted into land for farming.
Outside the land.
Someone had enough money, wanted to take Yerushalayim and plow it over and make it a field.
Right. So again, today we're not used to, we're looking at it from a different scale.
Right.
You go today and you can go a lot of different places. Our family had the blessing, the incredible privilege of being in Israel. So Nechama has an uncle who has a yeshiva and he lives in Beit Shemesh. So he took us to a hike not far from their home. I think they're in Ramat Beit Shemesh. What was the whole city? The whole city was a hilltop smaller than the size of this building. You know, you're talking about smaller scale. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people. You're not talking about Warsaw in the 1920s or Paris in the 1800s. You're talking about, you know, the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni. So even though, yes, many people lived in Yerushalayim, but there were the walled areas, the permanent areas, and then there were the others that were more transient. That's how at least the Chizkuni addresses your question. It's a good question nonetheless. But the principle of the idea I thought was very interesting and very powerful, because it ties in the whole idea of Yovel and Shemitah that the parasha started with, to conclusion with this Bote HaChatzerim, this distinction, and reminds us to calibrate our own lives thinking about it on these two levels. That on the one hand, there is the life that we develop in terms of the economy, how we make a living, what we do for a living, right? Someone will ask you, what do you do for a living? That's different than, what do you do for your life? What does your life consist of? What are your values? That should and must always be centered around the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, obviously, of course, in theory, your work is also centered around the Ribono Shel Olam, and there's a synthesis. It's not a double life, it's an integrated life. But the idea that there is an added mechanism in place for the Bate Arichoma, which is not necessary for the, I'm sorry, for the Bate Achatzerim and the fields, which is not in place for the Bate Arichoma, because the Bate Arichoma are about the inside, the spiritual edifice that we build, and that you don't need the reminder. You don't need that Hafgah on the time of Yovel.